Welcome to the Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums Glenda, Nicole, and Kristen.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into the Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Welcome, guys.
Welcome. Our last episode,
our last episode was on chakras, 7 main chakras.
Mm-hmm. How to recognize when they're not balanced, when they're aligned, and techniques you can use to help better those. And today, we're going to talk about auras and energy fields and their importance in your spiritual journey and energy healing.
The main difference between an energy field and an aura lies in their range and context.
You see, an energy field refers to the dynamic energy surrounding and existing within all living beings and objects in the universe. It includes various subtle energies, vibrations, and frequencies that interact and influence one another. Energy fields are primary focus in spiritual traditions and holistic healing modalities such as Reiki, Qigong, and Ayurveda.
So, on the other hand, an aura is a specific type of energy field that surrounds living beings, including humans, animals, and plants. It reflects an individual's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual states. Auras are often described as multi-layered fields of colored light or energy that can extend beyond the physical body. And the colors and the patterns that are in the aura often correspond to different qualities, emotions, and states of consciousness.
And an energy field is a broader concept which encompasses various subtle energies and vibrations throughout the universe. At the same time, an aura is a specific energy field that reflects an individual's physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual states and is only found in living beings.
The first layer of the aura is the etheric body. The etheric body is closest layer to the physical body and associated with the root chakra. It is sometimes referred as the physical body or layer. It serves as the energetic blueprint for the physical body and is related to physical sensation instincts and survival instincts. This layer governs our sense of safety, security, and connection to the physical world.
Yeah. So it's the auric or the layer of the aura that's the closest to the body, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The second layer is linked to the sacral chakra and is called the emotional body. The emotional body extends beyond the etheric body. It reflects our emotional experiences, our feelings, and our relationships. Colors and shapes in this layer correspond to different emotions, such as love, joy, anger, or sadness, and they can indicate the state of our emotional well-being.
The third layer is called the mental. I was thinking of something.
What were you thinking?
I was thinking of how I see people's auras. Like if I'm kind of doing a body scan, I'll get a brief glimpse of, okay, what color do I see? What's the shape and health of it? But so I'm thinking, like, if I was going to break it down to try to see each layer, would each layer be that color associated with the chakra? Or no?
It usually is. Like, I don't know. We each took Reiki, but different places.
Yeah.
So my Reiki teacher was like, you know, you start your hands close. I don't like the physical touch because you know how I'm sensitive with energy. This is why I don't practice Reiki. I can't. I can't differentiate.
Yeah, I feel like I liked it. Like, if someone was with me, I feel like I'd want to touch them. But you always ask.
Right. So when you're doing Reiki, and I don't know how you guys learned, but when you are really close to the body, you're picking up things associated with that layer, and then you move through each layer, and that's how you could figure out how what your feeling is associated with exactly for that person.
Is this
a physical ailment? Is this an emotional thing? And what chakra needs to be focused on based on the layer that you're getting the energy from?
Okay, so I kind of do that, but different. I wasn't quite taught like that, but it's always different with the teacher.
Each teacher is different.
So the third layer is called the mental body and is linked to the solar plexus chakra. The mental body extends beyond the emotional body. It pertains to our thoughts, beliefs, and cognitive processes. This layer contains thought forms or mental constructs influencing our perception, decision-making, and clarity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it makes sense that that's associated with the solar plexus because that has a lot to do with our self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are lacking self-confidence, we see things differently. We perceive things differently. We are afraid to make decisions, right?
Yeah.
The next one would be the fourth layer, is referred as the astral body, and is linked to the heart chakra. The astral body extends beyond the mental body. It represents our desires, dreams, and spiritual experiences. Our intuition, empathy, and psychic sensitivity resides in this layer, fostering connections with others and the spiritual realm.
Yeah, I really feel like when someone comes to me and they, like, their guides tell me, or they tell me that they're opening up to their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Heart chakra is always the first one. I'm like, you got to work on the heart chakra.
Yeah.
Because I fully believe that one of the main teachings, at least for me, when connecting with my guides and learning through readings and higher self and divine beings and everything like that, is everything's focused on love.
Yes.
And if you can't love yourself, you're not going to be confident. If you can't love others, you're not going to be compassionate and empathetic. So that opens the gateway for you to be more receptive to things. Because if you feel like you're not worthy enough to receive information, right, which is like essentially the heart chakra and the solar plexus, you're going to block stuff that comes in.
Yeah.
Like, who am I to receive this these messages? Who am I? Who am I? You know, like, I'm not worthy enough. I don't have value enough to be able to connect with the other side, right? So you're not going to be receptive to that information. Or if you don't know how to express love, I believe that sharing messages from spirit is a way of expressing love, because that's how spirit is sharing their messages, is through that connection of love. So I think when you're developing your spiritual abilities, or even maintaining them or advancing them and evolving and growing with them, then no matter how long you've been doing it, the heart chakra and the astral body are very important aspects to growing spiritually in that sense.
Yeah. I also want to say too, is I know when people are developing and they have a lot of fear, and I feel like when their heart chakra is very blocked, the fear is so big and they're not feeling the love that spirit's giving them too.
Yeah. Right.
It's like they're not concentrating on that loving aspect, which is like the best part.
Right.
Is feeling their love and guidance.
Yeah, and it's the vibration of it, right? Like, if you're in a low vibration, it's going to be hard for you to recognize something that's in a different vibration, which we've talked about in other episodes.
That is true.
So the fifth layer of the aura is known as the etheric template, or the etheric body, and it's linked to the throat chakra. The etheric body extends beyond the astral body, and it serves as a template or blueprint for the physical body's structure and function. This layer is linked to our ability to express ourselves authentically and creatively, and our capacity for manifestation and self-expression, which makes sense for the throat chakra. See how we're layering them? Yeah. You're getting like lesson one, lesson two. It's just going to grow from here, guys.
We couldn't have done this one first. We had to do the other one first, because that way you're more...
You understand.
Yeah, you understand a little more about each chakra. Mm-hmm. So the sixth auric layer is the celestial body, which is linked to the third eye chakra. The celestial body extends beyond the etheric template. It represents our spiritual awareness, enlightenment, and connection to divine consciousness. This layer is where we experience unity with all beings, deep spiritual insights, and transcendental states of consciousness.
Yes. I believe that's the layer, of course, that would be connected with even... communicating, connecting with extraterrestrials.
Yeah.
Our seventh layer is the casual body, and is linked to the crown chakra. The casual body is the outermost layer of aura. It contains the soul, memories, karmic patterns, and higher spiritual potential. This layer represents our spiritual growth, evolution, and the realization of true nature and higher purpose.
Which makes complete sense that it's connected to the crown chakra, because it's essentially the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would make sense that it's the outermost layer too.
Right.
And I think that kind of goes where we were talking about last time with, like, you get the tingles and you get this. Mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. that's when you feel, that's that first layer that spirit has to kind of get through for you to notice that they're in your energetic space. As I said that, I just got this, like, wind that just, like, hit me in the face out of nowhere. That was weird. Anyway. Yeah,
there's a lot of energy around right now.
There is. But yeah, it's like that's that layer it comes into, I think, the outermost layer to get you to notice its presence first.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think – and I love the fact that these are layers, because for people who only exist within the physical mentality, mm-hmm. you're very guarded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't think expansively, right? So mm-hmm. as you expand your way of thinking, as you open up a little bit more to new concepts and ideas – you're expanding your aura into this awareness, expanding into each of these layers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's just like with the root chakras and the Kundalini activation where it's growing. First, you got to work through that mm-hmm. root base, right? Or the physical body and then make it through the next one and then the next one and the next one to really achieve that concept of having that connection with those higher energies. Mm-hmm. Those the spiritual growth and evolution that you're seeking. And I think it's difficult for a lot of people, especially when they're first opening up to their spiritual gifts. They're like, finally own it, right? Like, oh my gosh, okay, this is real. Mm-hmm. And they get the validation and they want to go mm-hmm. from root to crown like that, you know, without hesitation. They want to go from that physical body straight to the causal body and then just be like, you know, like, I want to go from here to there. I want to hurry up and get to the next point and not realizing, wait a minute, I got to work through. Yeah. Yeah, it's a journey.
It's a journey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the seven layers of the aura are closely linked to each other and they function in harmony to mirror our physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual conditions, as well as our connection to the wider universe. And by practicing meditation, energy healing, and chakra work, you can balance and align these layers, which can lead you to overall well-being and spiritual advancement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think, like you said, sometimes there's got to be order to it.
Yeah.
You can't just skip. I feel like spirit's pretty good at making you
go back.
Go back. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, no.
It's like, oh, hold up. Yeah. It's like a bouncer at a bar, right? Yeah. You're like, oh, I got in here last night. Yeah. Sorry. No.
No.
No. Yeah. You're not there right now.
Go back.
It's your teacher. Go back, do your homework. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about how auras reflect our emotional, mental, and spiritual states.
The emotional layer of the aura is closely linked to our feelings and emotional experiences. Each emotion is thought to have a unique energetic signature, which manifests as colors and patterns in the aura. For example, feeling of love and compassion may be represented by shades of pink and green, while anger and anxiety may appear as red or dark colors. The intensity, brightness, and clarity of these colors can indicate the strength and stability of our emotional state.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you're, you know, looking at someone's aura and, you know, you see the colors of somebody who might be emotionally balanced, their aura colors would be clear and bright. Mm-hmm. And somebody who's like maybe really struggling with certain emotions, they're going to be very murky. So a bright, clear red is going to represent something very different than a murky red. So if it's like very red, like clear red, that might be they have a lot of vitality and they feel energized and they feel motivated. But like a very murky red or like a very dark red would be like anger or, you know, resentment, those kind of things.
So when you say clear, do you mean like transparent or obviously red?
Like a clear, well, yeah, like it's obviously red, but it's not a murky color. Does that make
sense? Like a bright color?
Red. Yes, bright.
Okay.
Right.
That makes sense. So the mental layer of the aura corresponds to our thoughts, beliefs, and cognitive processes. Distinct thought forms or mental constructs might appear as shapes or symbols within the aura. So the clarity, coherence, and complexity of these patterns can reflect our mental clarity, focus, and intellectual abilities. So like what Kristen was saying, cloudiness or distortion in this layer might indicate confusion, mental fog, or intrusive thoughts.
Hmm. Yeah. And the outer layers of the aura, including the astral, celestial, and causal layers, are associated with our spiritual awareness, connection to higher consciousness, and spiritual growth. These layers may contain symbols, images, or colors representing our spiritual experiences, insight, and aspirations. Transparent, vibrant colors and expansive patterns may signify a deep connection to the spiritual realms. If it's dull or fragmented, it may suggest spiritual disconnection or stagnation. Also, too, like if the outside shape, if there's not clear boundaries of it, if it's kind of a strange shape or if there are holes are in it, those could be emotions that they are stuck there or energy that's stuck that's hurting their connection to the divine. It might be making it so it's not as clear.
And even like the when you were talking about the shape of it, like the edges of the aura, sometimes if they look jagged versus smooth, I think that too is also like representative of what they're dealing with at that time. Mm-hmm.
So overall, auras mirror our internal state, providing insights into our emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being. Observing the interpreting the colors, shapes, and patterns within our auras can give valuable information about areas of strength, imbalance, or growth. Working with auras through meditation, energy healing, and aura cleansing practices can help us align our emotional, mental, and spiritual aspects, fostering great harmony, balance, and well-being in our lives.
Yes. So we want to share a few techniques to help you keep your aura balanced and clear any negative or unwanted energies. One of the most common ways that you probably are familiar with, and we've mentioned many times in previous episodes, is smudging. Mm-hmm. So burning sage, Palo Santo, or using other cleansing herbs like maybe lavender, and burning it to use the smoke to waft around your body and visualizing that smoke is purifying, you know, the intention of clearing any negative or stagnant energy from your aura.
Yeah, that's a good one. You can also take a bath with Epsom salts or Himalayan salt. Mm-hmm. As you soak, imagine the salt water absorbing and removing any energetic impurities from your aura, leaving you feeling refreshed and revitalized.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Epsom salt baths. And I actually even add lavender essential oil.
Same.
Here's a warning, though.
Uh-oh.
Add the oil after you've filled up and gotten into the tub, because it makes it really slippery.
Oh.
Because there's been a couple times.
Got a mental image of Nicole biting it.
Oh my gosh. I'm still healing from the last time it happened a couple weeks ago, but stepping into, which probably aggravated my back, I'm realizing now.
Oh, maybe.
But a couple weeks ago, I started the water, added the Epsom salt bath or Epsom salts to the bath, and I got into the tub, added the oil, and then realized my towel was all the way on the other side, and I was just standing in the tub. So I was like, I'll just get out while I'm barely wet. Got the towel, step back into the tub, and it's a deep soaking tub.
Aww.
So sure enough, I step into the tub, and my foot goes, slides all the way to the back of the tub.
How much oil do you put in there?
I only put like 8 drops, and it's a big tub, but I mean, it was enough,
bottle.
Right?
Yeah. That's a lot, though. I think so it'd be like 3.
The inside of my knee hits the corner of the surrounding of the tub, which is tile.
Oh.
So I end up with this huge bruise on the inside of my left knee.
Oh, no.
But totally worth it, because then I soaked in the tub and that felt better. So.
Okay. So if you do this, use caution.
Use caution if you use
disclaimer.
Disclaimer. And my husband's like, do we need to add like handlebars? I said, I'm not that old yet. We don't need the bars, you know, around the tub.
Or you have that, like, those tape on top, you know, those
the grippy tape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the flowers, the grippy flowers that you put in the bottom of the tub. That's what I said. I said, I might have to get that. But that would be so uncomfortable to sit in on the bath, in a bathtub.
Yeah, you like it like smooth.
Just put
on
it in
your
the
bottom.
Beginning portion when you step in.
Although, do you ever sit on the salt and you're like, ooh, that didn't dissolve?
The salt is usually on the opposite end
of
where
guys,
I sit.
Disclaimer. Make sure.
You dissolve your salt and you add the oil after.
Use a spoon or something to
actually
to mix it in.
what the essential oil lady told me, which I never do this, honestly, because I can't, like, get my thoughts together in the right order to do this before the bath. But she said, put the oils in with the dry salt and let it absorb. Yeah. And then I can never get my brain there. I can't remember.
Yeah, and then
it's too many steps.
I don't always mm-hmm. use lavender. Sometimes mm-hmm. I want to use a different scent. Mm-hmm. So then like the Serenity blend.
That's the one I use a lot. I can use it in the bath, but I can't. If I get it on my skin, I get a rash. It's weird.
Yeah, I have to use that one more because I think there's we're going down the rabbit hole.
I know we are. But hey, this will help your bath time. You will not slip. You won't sit on salt. And you have some good oils to use.
But it's a really good experience. Totally worth it.
So our next one will be visualization. Close your eyes and visualize a bright white light surrounding your body. See this light expanding, enveloping your aura, cleansing away any heaviness or darkness. You can also visualize colors associated with each chakra, focusing on balancing and harmonizing each energy center.
Yes, that's a good one. You know me, and I love my visualization of the protective bubble.
Yeah,
so that
makes
me think of that when I ask God to send down His holy light.
Imagine it being smooth too, you know, like smoothing everything. Sometimes if I feel heaviness, or I'll kind of feel that like there's like a dark spot, I'll imagine sending light to that and then closing it with like even more light.
If just, you know, side note, if you're enveloping yourself with that holy light, make sure you're pushing anything out that you don't want in it. You don't want to trap that stuff in with you.
Yes, that's true.
So there's also sound healing. So you can listen to soothing music or use sound healing tools such as singing bowls or tuning forks or chimes. And the vibrations from these sounds can help to clear blockages and restore harmony to your aura. Gee, you have chimes, right? Or like bells.
I do.
Like the symbols that you click, you do together, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any of those things. I have been tempted to get tuning forks, but then
you didn't.
I might play with them too much, and then they probably won't do what they need to do. You know, like ding, ding, trying to make music out of them and bang them together like an idiot. But, you know, like, so, you know. Do you guys have singing bowls?
I have.
I don't.
I have one.
Do you use it often?
I do. Yeah. Like, I would have the person late when I do the Reiki. I was like, let's open up your energy. So I place the singing bowl on their chest. And I would tell them, inhale, and then exhale. While they exhale, I would chime it, and then they'll do.
It releases the energy with the sound waves.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
I want an in-person Reiki session by G.
You got it.
You had one already.
That's true. We didn't have the sound bowl.
I didn't have any.
I know she didn't.
It was you.
It's Nicole that needs it. Nicole's turn.
Like, I'm exhausted. Sorry, Nicole. I was like, what?
No, I was having a hard time being away from my little one because that was the first time I was away from her. It was really hard.
See, I probably just have to get a flight to Hawaii just to get the Reiki healing from G.
Yeah.
It's going to be one expensive Reiki session.
It's one expensive Reiki session.
That's like celebrity prices right there. You got a celebrity Reiki person.
Hey, I know people who fly like to other countries to get energy healing by certain people.
That's
so
true.
You know,
I mean, G's that good.
So, G is that good.
Okay. So you can also connect with nature. You can spend time in nature, whether walking in the woods, sitting by the ocean, which that would be my pick. Or gardening. I do like to garden.
I'm like, you do all of those.
I do.
Yeah.
You're not near the ocean.
It is true. I walk in the woods like a couple times a week.
Yeah, but you go to Myrtle Beach because you have family down there. So you do all three of those. And you garden when it's...
I do,
All three of those are you. So this was the perfect one for you to discuss.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Nature has a natural cleansing and grounding effect on our energy fields. And it helps to restore balance and vitality to your aura.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all forms of grounding. Grounding your energy.
Yeah.
And syncing them with the earth, which is, you know... We talk about a lot.
Yeah, because that's another way of really helping you to release things that could be junking up your aura, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I will tune in, and, you know, this could be part of, like, visualization, but if I'm feeling really off, there's been a few times where I will just tune straight into my aura And, you know, sometimes I'll see stuff there that I'm like, that doesn't belong there. And I'll just pluck it off. You know, imagine plucking it. It's so weird. I'll even, like, take my hands and, you know, pretend like I'm plucking something off. And then I close it back up.
Yeah. Do you do that when you do Reiki? Like, scoop out energy from people? Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
I always want to take things out of people's ears. Do you ever do that? Like, I feel like they're not hearing things correctly. And I want to just, like, there's like extra energy in their ears that they don't need.
Like, you're not listening to me.
Yeah, like you're not listening to people. Unplug you. Yeah. And then what you were talking about on the last episode with the third eye, how you rub it. There's been a few people where I feel like I was just like scraping stuff off their third eye.
Yeah.
Another would be crystal cleansing. Use crystals such as clear quartz, selenite, and black tourmaline to cleanse your aura. Hold the crystal in your hand and imagine its energy flowing through you, removing any negativity or blockage. Does it matter if it's right or left hand?
Oh, because energy comes in on the left and which exits is the
one,
on the right?
Which is the one that...
I think that depends on... Well, if you're wearing it as a bracelet, if you're using crystals as a bracelet, receptive is left and expansion or like giving energies with your right hand. But if you're using a crystal to clear your energy and you can hold with both hands.
Oh,
you know, a good question.
Or if you're using a crystal wand, you know, like selenite wand.
Yeah.
It's not like you're directing it inward necessarily. It's your you're like wiping your aura with it like, yeah.
Gee, you just sent the killing curse.
I did.
Said abracadabra.
From Harry Potter?
Well, it's whatever. It's close enough.
I don't know how to say it.
Abracadabra. I can't remember how they say
you just,
it.
You made me think of
abracadabra, I heard. Abracadabra.
Manamana.
You know, this is like the third episode we've done the Muppet song.
Yeah, we did.
We talk about Muppets.
Muppets
were a big part of my childhood, man.
Me too. Yeah.
But the chef is the Muppet. The chef.
Oh, yeah, we talked about the chef.
Yeah. We did.
I think the one who brought him up both times.
You can go watch some Muppets.
Apparently.
They're funny.
So, anyway, so once you place your crystals in your hand, you can also place crystals around your body and carry them with you throughout the day or for ongoing protection and purification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people put crystals in their purse, in their bra, in their pockets as a keychain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's the intention matters more than anything else. But a lot of people who are very big crystal minded will say if you want to receive anything that comes in, you put on your left. And anything you give out, you put on your right wrist. Right? Isn't that right? Receive with your left.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look it up.
I think it's left. Check.
There's some.
Yeah. Wait, let's fact check while we're on here.
Because there's some crystals that have the pointing thing, right? And then you put
When you use amethyst points.
Yeah.
You want to point the left one in your hand points towards you and the right one in your hand points away from you. So it's like cycling the energy. Yeah. You bring in the positive energy and release the negative energy. When you're working with amethyst points to like clear energy and there's a lot of different ways you can use crystals to clear your energy.
And stay tuned. We will have this episode.
Yeah. They're like, I have some, but and then after a while,
there's different shapes. So
yeah. And after a while, but if it has a point, you can direct the energy of the crystal.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So wherever the point faces, that's why like, we definitely got to do a crystals 101. So there's also like, some crystals that have points on either end.
Yes.
And then when you talk about spheres, it projects energy from all in all directions. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about towers, it's, you know, there's a lot of towers. The shapes of the crystals and the types of crystals and the colors, they all affect the intention behind the crystal. But really, you can program any crystal to do whatever you want.
Right. Yeah.
That's just makes it a little bit easier. Like if you don't know where to start, you can look up like this crystal is associated with this. Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. So yeah, but there's lots of different ways you can use crystals to cleanse your energy for sure. Mm-hmm. But another way to work on clearing your aura is energy healing, like we've talked about. Working with someone to do Reiki. There's acupuncture, pranic healing, from a qualified practitioner. Those modalities work directly with your energy field to help release blockages and restore balance and promote your overall well-being.
So another thing you can do is aura brushing. Use your hands or a soft bristled brush to gently sweep away any negative or stagnant energy from your aura. Start at the top of your head and then brush downwards, and then visualize the energy being released and dissipated into the earth. G has aura brushed us.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember even the first time I did a Reiki practice session for Reiki 2, and I was picking up and receiving the energy from the person, like the negative energy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, something, I'm hurting and it's cause I feel really heavy. My friend who's the instructor, she was like, okay, step away. And then I started to just like, almost like you have like mosquitoes or bees on you, you know, up, I'm like wiping myself off. And she goes, where did you get that from? How did you know to do that? I said, I don't know. I just feel like I need to like clean myself or something. Mm-hmm. She's like, that's exactly what you want to do. So yeah, I think it's, but G did it for us when we were in Sedona after we went into a shop, and I was like, oh, this shop, I feel icky. Like I'm walking through mud and something sticky. And I was like, oh, I feel so gross. I need to get out.
It's supposed to be like a healing place too.
Yeah. And we were in a parking lot on the side of a busy road.
She's like brushing us,
wiping us off. Like we're covered in bugs or something like that.
Yeah. It felt good though. It felt good.
It did.
It worked.
Another would be positive affirmations. Repeat positive affirmations that resonate with you, such as, I am cleansed, balanced, and protected. Or, yes, my aura radiates with light and positivity. Affirmation can help to shift your mindset and energy, reinforcing your intentions to cleanse and balance your aura.
Yeah. You know, sometimes they say fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Affirmations are all about you say it until you believe it. Right. Mm-hmm. Just keep repeating it.
You got to believe it. Yeah. You'll eventually believe it.
Yeah, that's so true. And sometimes, you know, post-it notes, those are great. Have it affirmations is. On post-it notes. Put them several places. Move them around. Change the colors. You know, I love post-it notes. Mm-hmm. So engaging in regular self-care practices such as meditation, yoga, journaling, or spending time with loved ones are great ways to clear your auric field. Taking care of your physical, emotional, and mental well-being helps support your aura's overall health and vitality.
Yeah, and experiment with these techniques and see which one works best for you. Because what works for one of us may not work for you.
Right.
And consistency is key. So make sure you cleanse and balance your aura and make it part of your regular self-care routine for the best results, because you do have things that can change that. You know, you can clear it and do all your stuff, and then there could be some energy or some situation that might change it a little bit again. And so you have to keep doing it, and then eventually things will not affect it as much or as easily anymore. That's what I've noticed with me.
Yeah. And you definitely want to protect your aura after you clear it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you don't do that, it's going to come right back pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Here are some ways to protect your and strengthen your aura. Protecting and strengthening your aura is another important practice for maintaining overall well-being, but also for shielding you from outside influences. Here are some effective methods for protecting and strengthening your aura.
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier, we were talking about visualizing a protective light coming into you or a healing cleansing light coming into you. That's actually part of a process that I think of as the protective bubble or protective shield. So you can use a protective shield of light to surround your body, acting as a barrier against any negative energy. You imagine the shield as impenetrable and glowing with the strength of vitality. You can actually visualize it as a bubble of light, like I said, a suit of armor, or any other image that resonates with you. And honestly, it can be whatever color you want. Like some people like to visualize blue because it makes them think of Archangel Michael. I visualize a golden white light just because I think of that as purity, cleansing, and protection. Mm-hmm. So yeah, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm. Another way that you can protect your aura is setting boundaries. And this is with energy, spirits, and people. Establish clear boundaries with others and learn to say no to activities or interactions that drain you. Setting healthy boundaries helps protect your aura from being depleted or infiltrated by negative influences. And I guess, and again, this is spiritual and people. I'd say people are probably the most draining.
Yeah, and there's actually some locations where the energy can be really draining, even if there's no people around.
That's true.
Or certain situations and things like that. So if you have the ability to avoid some of that stuff, you can do that. But doing these other practices will help as well.
So what's a place that might drain you guys if you go to?
That doesn't have people or that has people?
Both.
Because grocery stores drain me like crazy. Yeah. And I think it's just like a lot of the time going like to Costco or Kroger or something like that. Or Walmart is the worst.
Costco and Walmart.
The energy.
Yeah.
The energy, the residual energy and the energy of the people is often not great. They're not happy. They're irritated. They're in a rush. They want to get done. Yes. They want to get out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not enjoyable. Yeah. And when you have so many of those people coming in and out of a structure, it can reside. That energy can stay in that space. So even if it were not a lot of people, you can still pick up on the energy of the people there. Mm-hmm. I don't even like there's some nature, like when we went to Sedona and we were going to the different vortexes, when they were crowded, I was like, I didn't get anything, you know, but there were even some parts that were not crowded and I still didn't get anything, but that's,
yeah, we still need to talk about that. Yeah. Cause
we're coming up on 1 year since we went. So yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
It means it's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Yeah. I know. We got to plan the next one.
We do. Well, for me, I think sporting events and concerts will be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because even my daughter's cheer competitions, I'm like, I really have to bubble up for that. And like make sure I get good sleep before, make sure I have time afterwards to like just decompress. And yeah, because there's a lot of angry moms, cheer moms out there.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that my son's basketball games are like that. The angry parents at the ref. And I'm like, they're kids. This is league.
Let them play.
Okay. Let them have fun. Let them learn. Yeah.
The other thing that drains me is going into a kindergarten classroom. Not like a bad way. Not like I love kids. It's not like because, you know, I love little kids, but they're so exhausting.
I hope you have three of them. Yeah.
But when it's like a lot of them in the kindergarten class, I would leave there after a half hour and feel like I did something for like 10 hours. And I'm like, I don't know how those teachers do it.
I know. I was going to say there's a new appreciation for teachers when you volunteer in elementary school classrooms or actually in any grade classrooms. Yeah. But
it's exhausting.
Definitely.
Another way to practice or protecting, strengthening your aura would be grounding. Practicing grounding techniques connect with the earth's energy and anchors yourself in the present moment. This can include walking barefoot on the earth, spending time in nature, or visualizing roots extending from your body into the earth's core. Grounding helps stabilize and strengthen your aura, making it less susceptible to external stressors.
We talked about using crystals to cleanse your aura, but you can also use crystals to protect your aura. So protective crystals such as black tourmaline, obsidian, and hematite are great for shielding or for creating a shield around your aura. Carrying these crystals with you or placing them in your environment to help absorb and transmute negative energies is a great practice. You can also wear them as jewelry for ongoing protection. And if you've had a reading with me or you've seen some of my videos on Instagram, I'm often wearing my black obsidian necklace because that's my protective stone that I connect with. That I often wear when I go out in public or when I do readings just to be extra precautious with my energy.
You can also protect and strengthen your aura by having good energy hygiene. You can practice this by maintaining positive thoughts, emotions, and intentions. I'm going to put an asterisk next to what I'm about to say. Avoid engaging in gossip, negativity, or drama, as these can weaken your aura and leave you vulnerable to psychic attacks or drain your energy. And I mean, it just brings your whole vibration down. I mean,
yeah.
Which when your vibration's down, that leaves your aura weakened.
Right. And then you start to attract low vibrational energies and experiences and situations and people, you know, and, you know, I'm probably going to piss a lot of people off when I say this, but watching reality TV shows.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I know you're one of those people I'm going to piss off.
No, it doesn't piss me off. Well, yeah, I do
but
watch.
Watching reality TV shows, it's one. All around the drama and the gossip and all that stuff.
But see,
and,
I don't like it when they get drama. Like, I like it better when they get along. If I know
episodes coming with
drama, I don't watch it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I think it's like a lot of people don't realize that what they watch, what they listen to, what they experience, what they're consuming essentially is influencing their energy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch a ton of reality TV shows, like I'll be honest, I never was big into any of the reality TV shows like Survivor or Real Housewives or anything like that.
No, I don't watch those.
But recently something showed up on like one of my Instagram reels and I was curious about the Real Housewives. So I started watching season one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
That's hard to watch.
And I was like, I could only watch that like 5 minutes at a time. And I thought, well, maybe this is just something I could have in the background. Even just having it in the background, I could tell how it – like I wasn't even watching it. It was just having noise. Still, I was like, no, I got to turn this off. This is – I feel gross. So I made it through like 3 episodes over the last like month.
Yeah. See, I've never watched that like, one, but I could imagine.
I can't get into it.
I could imagine.
But it's just like, and it's a lot of it, of course, is edited for the drama.
Yeah, they have
right. And a lot of it is influenced for the drama. So that's what they bank it on because people really enjoy seeing that kind of drama. But I really thought, I was like, maybe I'll try this just because I'm curious and I just can't get into it. I just can't get into it. So yeah. Pay attention to what you are.
I'd say the
talking
news
about what you're
is
watching.
A major one. Yeah. I cannot watch
it.
Yeah. Can't. I had to stop. Yeah. I don't watch it anymore. If it's
I like
an
to watch
thing,
the second half of like the Today Show where they
where
start talking
happy
about
stuff.
Happy things. Yeah.
If there's something catastrophic about to happen, you're going to hear about it. I mean, you're not going to miss that.
Another way to protecting your aura and strengthening would be aura strengthening exercises. Engage in exercises or practices specifically designed to strengthen and fortify your aura. This can include aura expansion exercises, energy work, or qigong practices that focus on building and amplifying your energy field.
Yeah. This is something, I don't know if we've actually talked about it on a podcast, but we've had this discussion before. About expanding our energetic field and retracting
like
it.
Like pushing it out when we want to engage and then you bring it back.
Because even when, because like, you know, when you're doing a reading, you don't want to be picking up on everybody's energy, but you want to be expanding your energy towards the person you're having that reading with, no matter where they are in some degree, right? If you're feeling fearful or worried and you have no reason to, you might have your energetic field too expanded. So if you bring it in and retract it, you might realize that you're picking up on other people's energy and it has nothing to do with you. So that's actually a really good practice. And it's, you know, visualizing a certain color and shape to your energetic field, your aura, and seeing it expand beyond you in a way that is protected, clear, and strong. So you have control over it. And it actually will help build your confidence in that way too.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that? So this is a reality show, but this doesn't quite go into that same category. So there was this really cool episode of Ghost Hunters where they put one of the thermal cameras on a psychic as he was reading somebody else. And you can see all these colors come out from him. And you see them travel to the person next to him. And that's what makes me think of
he was
pushing his energy. And that was something I was taught. Like, if you're going to read the person in front of you, their energy, you can imagine pushing yours just to them or whatever. But, like, it was so cool they caught that.
That's cool.
Because I think – and I wonder if – so was it a thermal camera?
I think it was one of those thermal imaging cameras. Or what is another camera that they use?
I don't, they have all
kinds of
different.
Because you can see it in the color. It's like different colors, and like it's this weird plume of energy that comes out of the psychic and then goes to the person that he was reading.
Well, earlier, was it this episode or last episode we were recording, you said you felt like a gust of wind came at you.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a spirit or an entity pushing their energy towards you.
It was weird.
And if it was a thermal camera that they were using, maybe that's what creates cold spots or warm spots and such like that, that people feel when they do those types of investigatings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's the energy being pushed or pulled back or something like that, and it retracts with the temperature, affects the temperature.
Yeah, true, because G was picking up on something.
Paranormal investigation.
Yeah, I've never done one.
Nicole takes notes.
I think I'm...
write that down. Paranormal investigation. That's right after Crystals 101. Yep.
So remember earlier, because we all feel that there's somebody here with us, G kept saying she felt hot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like I'm freezing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, and different entities can, because a lot of people think if you're cold, some people assume that that's an entity pulling energy out of you. I don't think that's necessarily true. They might be pulling energy out of the air.
Yeah, I think it's whatever gets your attention sometimes.
Yeah, I
really do.
Yeah,
it's not absolutely bad, cold, everything good, warm. It's
right.
What's going to get you to notice?
Yeah,
right. So there are also some protective mantras or affirmations that you can use to help strengthen your auric field. Mm-hmm. You can repeat. Something like, I am safe and protected, or I am surrounded by light and love, or even my aura is strong and impenetrable. Now, you can write whatever affirmation you want.
I like that last one.
My aura is strong and impenetrable. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So something else you can do is to have more intuitive awareness. You can trust your intuition or learn to trust your intuition and inner guidance to alert you to potential threats or energy drains. Pay attention to how you feel around certain people or environments and take proactive steps to protect your aura when necessary. That I had to learn the hard way a lot. Or even just there's some people that no matter what, when I would leave hanging out with them, I would be an anxious mess. And it was when I was with that person every time. What are a couple feelings that each of you maybe have had when you were around people that drained you or an environment, a place? Because I can definitely think of places where I don't want to go back there.
Well, there's times where, you know, we've gone house hunting and I'll feel like we can pull up in front of the house and I'll feel like I am not welcome in that house.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I don't need to go in there. Mm-hmm. Or times I walk into the house and I'll be like, I need to get the fuck out of this house
because
something is like feels so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or like I'm at a party or something and there's somebody that everybody is so happy to see and all excited. And they're like, oh, this big man on campus kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, something feels off about that person. I'm going to keep my distance kind of feeling.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of, for me, it's the feeling I get around people that's going to make me say, yeah, no, this is a time I need to, you know, really step back and pay attention to what my intuition is trying to tell me.
Yeah.
And maybe some people, it might be that they see something versus feeling something. I don't know. Do you guys think that it's a feeling more than it is like a something you see or something you hear or something you know? Yeah, feeling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then the knowing comes in.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, sometimes you just know like, there's something off about this person. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I haven't even met them yet. But, you know, I'm just not excited about that person.
Yeah.
I need to keep my distance.
Yeah.
So by including these methods into your daily routine, you can create a strong, resilient aura that supports your overall well-being and empowers you to navigate life with confidence and clarity.
Now that we've told you the difference between an aura and an energy field and have a better understanding now that our auras actually are influenced by other people's auras and our auras are influenced by energy fields from locations and situations and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the 7 layers of the aura and how they're related to chakras. We've talked about how our auras reflect our emotional, mental, and spiritual states. Yeah. We've talked about how you can cleanse your aura and we talk about how you can protect and strengthen your aura. So we hope that the information that you gain from listening to this episode today is really going to help you feel more confident in your ability to protect yourself, more confident in your ability to clear your energy, to be aware of your energy and how your energy can be expressed through all these different ways, through chakras like we discussed in our last episode, but also through our auric field. You know, it's a beautiful concept that is used in a lot of spiritual healing. Mm-hmm. So if you decide to work with someone, a professional with spiritual healing, mm-hmm. this is something you can discuss with them about your auras and the different layers. Or if you decide to explore this for yourself and maybe you be a practitioner one day, we hope that this has helped bring some clarity and deepen your understanding of auras.
Yes. If you have any experiences that you'd love to share with us, please do it. And you can do that on our Facebook group page, Soul on a Voyage.
If you missed the last episode, listen, because we discuss chakras, the seven main chakras, and other things as well. So go and listen.
Like the colors, right? Mm-hmm. Like the colors, the traits, how to know if they're balanced or not.
Some crystals that are associated with them.
Yes. In our next episode, we're going to talk about Reiki. We've hinted a little bit about it, talking about chakras and auras. We hope you join us because we're going to go more in depth. And of course, Kristen and Glenda can share their Reiki stories if they choose to. Mm-hmm. And then don't forget to keep listening because in future episodes, we're going to be talking about crystals like we've mentioned some today and in our last episode, as well as astrology and numerology. And we're just super excited because there's so much to share about those different topics. If you want to hear anything specific about those topics or if there's another topic you want us to discuss, please don't hesitate to email us or contact us through our website, soulonavoyage.com.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Yeah, subscribe to our soulonavoyage.com website for more spiritual resources and services. And remember Soul on a Voyage Facebook group.
Don't forget to stay updated on all that we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on a Voyage. And thanks so much for being a part of our spiritual community. Bye for now.
Peace out.
Love ya.